Time for Cover Your Assets. Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, how to pronounce things, and sports.
That's like forsooth.
And he joins us right here on WFFD on Robin Hood Radio. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
It reminds me of those.
Good morning, everybody.
It reminds me of those.
Hope you're doing fine. News notwithstanding.
Yeah, I say the reason I can't speak is I was attacked by an Iranian drone.
That's a good excuse. I just, if you look at old documents with the S's and the F's, it makes perfect. Cover your assets.
Now, Jim, before we go any further on this this drone thing, there's a guy who lives in our area, Mr. Baroudi, who is over in the Middle East. And he went to the border in between Israel and I think he's a
get this right.
He's on he's in the protected the side Jordan. Anyway, he's over there and he sent pictures, and this is the amazing thing. Between Israel and the Arab countries, okay? He's right on the border, and he sent pictures, and you can see, this is sad. You can see pictures of Iranian drones that have crashed, American drones that have crashed, and those drones, obviously, not supposed to be there. But it explains that one picture that he sent back explains the myriad of what goes on in the Middle East.
And what is absolutely, I'm sorry, but I'm going to start with this, what is really unfortunate is that most people don't have any idea but believe that they are being fully informed by the news that they watched. And it just makes me want to, makes my head spin.
And it makes, and seeing those pictures, Jim, it makes what happened with the drones that struck the Audi oil fields even
Audi?
More. What?
The Audi?
The Audi, yeah.
Aramco, right. Saudi, yeah.
It makes it even more important because this now is a real big trigger because we want to sign, Israel wants us to sign a defense pact with them. And if we do that, Iran will sign a defense pact with the rebels. And then all of a sudden you have... You have a surrogate Iran-U.S. conflict.
Well, plus you've got Russia running around playing Syria.
So this situation now really leapt up 10 levels on the scale.
No question about it. And it's been on my mind to kind of begin the show with this. As American citizens... And as voters, we have to take responsibility for the fact that President Trump took us out of a fairly successful Iran deal whereby China, U.S., France, Germany, we had agreed to limit the nuclear expansion of Iran, and they basically had been complying, according to an international group of investigators. Our European allies were satisfied that they had done that. We arbitrarily pulled out of that deal. Why, in God's name, I don't know. But we did. And we set some additional, we put some additional wood on the fire that's been burning there forever, not just in Iran, but in the Middle East. As we probably know, Iran and Saudi Arabia are terrible enemies. We should know that Russia and Iran are somewhat in bed on certain issues, that China and Iran are somewhat in bed on certain issues. So as these things happen, back to Jordan and Israel, we have to understand that it's happening all over the place, as Marshall had said, in the Middle East. And the actors, the big actors, the China and the Russians and the U.S., have their favorites for whatever reason and are stirring stirring the pot, so to speak. But no matter what happens from right now, we have set the tone for a larger problem in the Middle East by getting out of the Iran deal, segregating ourselves from our allies, and, you know, we could begin to see a bit of a free-for-all here. It's horrible. And you've got to... I put something on the... I don't know where I did it, but the bottom line is that there's a fire burning, folks. You know, there's a fire. It's in the Middle East, but it's spreading. Please, call out. Sound the alarm. I said in a tweet or something, please talk to everybody you know. Just have a conversation about what is going on in this country. Vis-a-vis are allowing very successful foreign policy from being co-opted by people's individual needs as people or presidents or senators to curry favor with their interests. But you have to start talking among yourselves. We certainly have to vote, but we've got to get everybody on the same page, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, whoever you are. Our country is at stake here because we have somebody in the White House who uses the term, well, we'll see what the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia says about this problem of being bombed. And we'll wait for the Kingdom to alert us. In the meantime, the president said, we're locked and loaded. It's a juvenile term. That normally you see in training camps in the armed services. But it's one of these attempts at macho. We don't need macho here, okay? We got plenty of macho. We got plenty of weapons, too many of them. But you have to start getting very serious about talking to your neighbors, how to vote, what's important. Now, certainly security is important. And we have a president who's basically making us less secure by his actions, which are primarily driven by his own wants, needs, mistakes. He's not taking advice. He's not seeking advice. He's milking the presidency for everything it's worth personally. I don't care about that. I do care about the lives of American citizens, not only here, but abroad, because we are gradually becoming targets for the rest of the world because of our behavior.
Here's what's scary about this, and for those people who are not old enough to remember when Iraq decided to annex a country for its oil, and we put together a coalition and we went to war and very quickly ended that, and our general, Schwarzkopf, knew that taking over Iraq was insane, and we just ended it right there and everything went back to normal. But the drumbeats that are now sounding with this drone attack are the same drumbeats that happened when we got into the second Iraq conflict. And getting into a conflict with Iraq at that time is one thing. Getting into a potential conflict with Iran over Saudi Arabia is something totally different. And what I found interesting, and this is what the president does, and it's very interesting to influence the stock market, by opening up potentially the U.S. oil reserves to keep oil prices low. That's not the reason the reserves are there. The reserves are there for an actual oil crisis, when there is the oil flow has been impeded. This is a very, very tricky time, and what really amazes me, and unless I've missed it, I haven't heard anything from any Democrat or Republican representative in the House or Senate about all these things together. Let me finish for a second. This is not just a canary in a coal mine. This is several canaries in a coal mine, and it really should elicit the interest of the Congress and the Senate, as to say, let's put the brakes on this. Just remember, we're the ones that have the right to wage war, not the president. This has just not been discussed enough.
I agree with you. The reason I'm interrupting is because it seems to me that we should be hearing more about just that, and the fact that we're not hearing that suggests, as has happened so often before, that there are that basically the way the information is portrayed is totally agenda driven, because if, for example, there were a real objection to what is happening, just as with Chuck Schumer in China, you would hear it. And Schumer made it very clear, going to China for a second and the president's trade war, that he was absolutely behind it. Now, politically, that makes terrible television. But practically speaking, you know that, in fact, this isn't a unilateral thing going on. If you pay attention.
Marshall is spot on. And I think what we need here is the head, Pelosi and Schumer, and McConnell, and the Californian chap, I forget his name, they need to march over and sit down in the Oval Office, get Pompeo in there, anybody else that the president needs or should need, because he should need people to be eyes and ears. He should need people to convey to the congressional, senatorial people, what are they doing? What is the strategy? What in the name of God is going on here? These little remarks about, we'll wait and see what the kingdom says. Who the hell cares about the kingdom? I remember the kingdom on 9/11, okay? I was walking my dog that morning. It was a beautiful morning. Next thing I know, I got a call from my wife. She's in a building downtown. She watched the first plane go in. And she watched the second plane come in. And she had to go down the 40 flights of stairs or whatever and walk home from downtown. Walk down in the ashes, people crying. The hospitals in this city, New York City, they were on 110% alert. They were waiting for the casualties. And by about 4 o'clock, they all looked at one another and said, this couldn't be true. There weren't any casualties. They were all dead. The Saudis did that. That's S-A-U-D-I, Mr. President.
Yeah, people.
9/11, Mr. President.
Yeah, people.
The Saudis did it.
Yeah,
so why are we so chummy with them? We're too damn chummy.
Well,
you green-lighted a murder of an American. You had your little boy, Jared, go over there and with his wife make a deal with the Saudis that put $1 billion into his failing real estate. These are facts. These are facts. These are not the fake news that some people want to say. So back to Marshall's point. We have to get these leaders off the behinds and into the Oval Office and find out what's going on before it's too late and before we have a conflagration.
You know,
remember the meeting with the two Russians when Trump gave up the fact that we had an insider at the in Moscow telling us about the Russians interfering in our election. Do you remember him spilling the beans on some work we were doing with the Israelis in terms of our technology, again with the Russians? This man cannot be trusted. Whether he's sick or not is immaterial. I'm sorry if he's sick. If you're sick, go and get help. But don't make us sick. Don't kill us. Don't kill our young people.
You know, you're sitting here, Jimmy. Let's go back in time. After the World Trade Center collapse and our first foray with, by the way, a unilateral force which contained 75 other countries, all within that region except for Iran, to put an end to what happened there, the world was on our side. After the second Iraq war, where we've lost 6,000 men, the Iraqis lost 300,000 civilian lives and 1 million military lives. After all this dust has settled, you have the United States not in an enviable position here right now. And it, like I said, it goes way back before Donald Trump, this whole thing. We tried to create a new world order, and Schwarzkopf would not have any part of it. And we went ahead with it anyways after the second, during the second Afghanistan and Iraq wars. And we are now forever linked to that, to most of the world. And this is just scares me right now. I just have to say that this just scares me, because most of the people who are 18 and 19 and under don't really have
the context.
The context as to what's going on here, and that's more frightening than anything else.
What's even more alarming on top of that is they're interested. They are actually interested. This lot's interested, and we are just doing a massive disservice by standing around opining rather than saying, yeah, sit down, roll up your sleeves. This is going to take a while. You want a Snickers bar.
People have to understand, and a lot of people don't understand. I come from a generation where there was a draft. I come from a generation from when there was a draft. There is no draft now. We have an all-volunteer military, and there's not going to be very many people willing to volunteer, I can tell you that, Jim, from the younger ages, to sustain another war.
I'm with you 100%. And you're recalling these things are very important for people to hear. We started this thing in Afghanistan, Iraq. Yeah, we had a right to go after bin Laden, but we didn't have the right set the Middle East aflame.
We did that in the
second Bush administration.
We did not have
it's
the
so
right.
It's so sad because his father, Senior, handled the first one so beautifully. The second thing is the draft. I've had this conversation several times with people. If we had a draft, it would be very difficult for us to get into some of the stuff we're getting into. Because we'd have people who would be drafted who were college educated, possibly have some business experience, maybe have a family already developed to a degree, and they would be more responsible in dealing within the military with what is going on. Unfortunately, since we have so many people who volunteer, the service is a wonderful place to serve, to grow, to learn. Many men, I can remember I was in the Navy and I saw guys extending, which I did not do, for 4 or 6 years because they could learn electronics and shape something. So there's so much there. But we must remember the reason for an army is to fight and defend the country. The need for an army is not to go to war. It's for defense. If we want to get back 1,000 years, armies were then created to go and conquer. That's not what we were supposed to be doing here in the modern age. And therefore, we've got to get back to those things that help us in terms of disciplining what we're doing.
Well, we only have about a minute left, Mr. Lynch.
Okay. About the Giants defense?
Bottom line, if you're overly invested in stocks, I'd get down 30% or more. You have to use your own judgment, but sell something, get some cash, get comfortable. I'm just talking, obviously, where people have significant portfolios. I would leave the bond market alone. 2 year, I would stay within the 1 year range in terms of T-bills. I'd be very conservative. I wouldn't be spending any money at this juncture, folks. I'd be saving my money. And I'd be educating my kids, and I'd be staying close to them, and I would tell my kids exactly what is going on. You made the point earlier. So many of our young people don't have any historical knowledge of this. They must be informed. They must be informed so that whatever we go through, they have a background for it. Anyhow, we'll get through it. Chin up, bootstrap, God bless you all. Have a good week.
Take care, Jim. Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.